The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from the barrage here at Bar Canada at the D. Bar Canada, downtown Las Vegas. Glad to have you this morning. Kelly, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Are you excited for your Megapod debut tomorrow?
Let's go. I'm ready.
What does it feel like to have hit the big time?
Well, I'll tell you, Gil. First, I want to take a few minutes to thank everybody out there that's gotten me to this point. No, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun with you guys.
Kelly Bidlin coming to the Megapod tomorrow.
And we got Todd here.
Todd
right?
will be here. You will be here.
Yeah, so Will's going to be like the poor guy who's just
right.
not here with us.
That's right. It's kids' table. Look forward to that tomorrow after the show. On today's show, nothing but guests. My God, we're overbooked. Will Hill himself, Mike Pritchard, Jason Weingarten, Paul Carr with some soccer plays. Everybody in the house today. We look forward to all that. And we will talk, of course, NFL throughout. Will's got picks, college and pro. Another four college football games today. College football bowl games. And listen, I did this last week. Maybe I did it the week before. I'm going to do it one more time, which is my college football bowl PSA, which used to be true even in past years, but now is this on steroids, which is, listen, you can try to read the tea leaves of line moves. There's a big line move, of course, with the UNLV game yesterday. Read into what someone going on the transfer portal means to a line. That line went from 13 to 7.5 yesterday in favor against UNLV, I should say, in their game against Kansas. You can try to handicap these games. College football, as a sport in general, I always have said, it reveals itself quicker than any other sport in a specific game. So even in a normal regular season game, it's the best vehicle for in-game betting, specifically in bowl season. We used to say in past years, instead of trying to play amateur psychologist, who is motivated, who is not, it's best to just watch a bit of the game and then make a bet. And now with all of the mishugas around it, with transfer portal and guys just opting out, early, it's even that much more. And yesterday, you know, last week was famously, Kelly, was the ODU Western Kentucky game. I told the story about the bookends of getting Western Kentucky at over 5-1, and that made amends for the worst beat of all time in the Bahamas Bowl 9 years prior. Yesterday wasn't as sexy, but again, I sat there with Todd Wishnev, and I went 3-1 on in-game bets. And again, if you don't believe me, ask Todd. The point being that, you know, maybe you fashion yourself as a college football guy who can really handicap these games properly. But I am still going to argue, and this is the PSA, that watching these and betting these in game, two drives, three drives, a quarter, whatever you need to sort of get a grasp on a game is still a better way to go. And here's the thing, and here's where I lose my too cool for school card. Sometimes you'll get a worse line than you would have all run up to the bowl game, but I would still argue it's a more plus EV bet having watched a portion of these college football bowl games and getting a grasp of what's actually on the field rather than pontificating or guessing about it and trying to handicap it as best as you can for the weeks on the run up. And yesterday, you know, just to go through them real quick, Minnesota ends up winning their game against Bowling Green in the Quick Lane Bowl. They end up winning by 6. I had a Minnesota -4.5. That's not as good as the preflop number, but Minnesota ended up, because if you're watching the game closely in the second half, you could tell they were sort of the better team. It's not always going to work out, by the way. I'm not suggesting that it will, but I will suggest that if you did it consistently versus preflopping consistently, you would do better. Almost every bowl season doing this. Then it was the Texas State Rice game. I don't know if you caught this at all, the First Responder Bowl, where this game lasted all day long. It was over 4 hours of real time of just a bowl game that very few people were watching. By the way, part of this in-game stuff, I must admit, is you have no responsibilities in life, and you can actually sit and watch some of these games. So
yeah.
I will. And maybe I got lucky betting Texas State in-game in this, because Texas State didn't do much on offense, but Rice just kept giving them the ball back and forth. By the way, the head official of this game, I pretty much think attended my bar mitzvah. I'm pretty convinced. He was so... There was a moment in the game, and I'm not exaggerating, 10 minutes of real time, there was a running into the kicker and two personal foul penalties. And at one point, he wanted to walk off 35 yards against Rice. And then they had to, like, caucus several times. And finally, he was like, no, the running was declined. And then the two others offset. Yeah,
which it
was
one do you actually count?
Four-plus hours of football. And then last night,
I did watch, like, 4 minutes of this game.
Good.
And just during that 4 minutes of it was, like, the annual reminder of there are way too many freaking bowl games.
There are.
Way too many. And then hey, for bettors, it's great. But,
And finally, the UNLV-Kansas game last night, which Kansas had 213 yards of penalties. 213, I believe it was.
Holy cow.
18 penalties for 213. Let me make sure that I got that right.
JVT on with us next. No. He was at this game yesterday.
We'll talk to JVT about this. 18 for 216, pardon me. And Kansas threw three horrible picks and still covered, unless you got the 13, the worst of it. 49-36. I actually split in-game bets on this one. I had a -7.5. One I actually had a -13.5. So again, it doesn't always work out for you. But again, just a PSA. This is the better way to go in these bowl games. So take that for what it's worth. I hope if you have the time and no responsibility, you too can partake and win on these. NBA last night, Kelly, some things happened. Let's put it that way. One, Ja 4-0 now with the Grizzlies upon his return, and an overtime win, which resulted because Jared Jackson missed what could have been a go-ahead free throw with 0.4 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, the refs decided to insert themselves in the end of that game.
Yeah.
There was he had a shooting foul call that got overturned. You never see that. A challenge at the end of the game where there was a foul call that just clearly wasn't a foul on Shaw that they waved off then. And then, yes, you had that inbounds pass. It was a stupid foul by Valanciunas where they challenged that one, went to replay on that. That one, though, Valanciunas got, okay, when you're 300-plus pounds, you have a little body into a Jaren Jackson Jr., still a foul. He goes to the line, splits him, and, yeah, ties game, goes to overtime.
And then Ja ends up celebrating the victory, if you will, in overtime with what's probably the game-clinching dunk, let's say. Grizzlies end up winning it by one in overtime. But he does so by... miming, it's actually the Rocky a hips dance, but he can have plausible deniability that he was mocking LSU players. They were in New Orleans. But yes, he's miming gun play.
Like Ja, jeez.
Which reminds you of Gilbert Arenas back in the day who didn't learn his lesson either. So
tough, man. Like I watched a lot of that game early and then I watched the whole game. I watched most of the fourth quarter and then into overtime. And you're like, Ja Morant's so good. Like, the whole time you're just Ja Morant is so good. He's missed from the game. Like, the Grizzlies are so, obviously so much better with him. And then he goes and does something like that. And you're just like, dude, like, I'd still like you to be in this league in 2 years. It'd be nice to watch you play. How clueless can you be?
You know how we always come on this show on Guessing Line sometimes? I'm like, that left tackle is just daring the officials to call a false start. He is daring Adam Silver.
I don't get it. I saw it too, and it was. I didn't even go to Twitter right away. I'm like, did I really just see what I think I saw? You know what I mean? When you have one of those moments, and you're like, let me rewind it. Yep, I really just saw what I thought I saw. Cool.
Those four wins. Now the Grizzlies 4-0 since his return. Double the wins that the Pistons have all season long. The Pistons lost their 27th in a row. It's the single season longest streak of all time. 28 by the Sixers, which spanned over the course of two seasons, is the longest losing streak in all of North American sports history.
We didn't remember. We were bringing that up the other day. That's why
we don't remember.
Yeah, I forgot to text you after the show what I was reading about. I was like,
that's why we don't remember. Yeah.
And nobody brings it up, I feel like.
And the Pistons hung, right, all night.
Had a fourth quarter lead.
Yeah. 41 from Cade, 23 from Bogdanovich. Nah, still can't win.
Ugh, it's so...
28.
That one last night was tough, too, because, the Nets hit some shots down the stretch that it was like, man, like, you have to be... It's kind of like when we talk Survivor, right, where it's like, you have to be bad and so unlucky for this kind of streak
to happen.
That's
right.
So the Nets just hitting jumpers.
27 in a row. That's the losing streak. And now their opponents, you get to the point now where if you're one of their opponents, you don't want to be the team that loses to them. So that on the cusp of history. And the sort of betting implication I want to talk about last night is Spurs have a back-to-back coming up. Mm-hmm. Greg Popovich is already out there saying, well, Wembanyama's not playing in both of these. He has an ankle injury.
So you might have caught. Did you catch it the other day when he pregame warmup, when he got pulled from the game, pregame warmups, landed on a ball boy after making a layup, his foot landed his on foot, a ball yes. boy's foot.
That's right.
And he tweaked his ankle. So he did end up playing last night, had a good game, but only played 24 minutes. And Pop after the game discussed that he's not going to play in this back to back coming up with the Blazers.
He's been bad in back to backs. To be fair, Wembanyama has thus far this year. The Spurs and Popovich being sort of the pioneers of load management to begin with. Spurs lose to the Jazz last night. Does this trigger or help you or help nudge you over the hump on a Chet Holmgren Rookie of the Year bet?
It kind of, it's something I've been thinking about for like a week and a half now, because it's very clear. I thought this coming into the season. We didn't really see it for the first couple months, but when you've listened to Pop and these guys recently, I think they're smartly, they've been more vocal about the approach that, hey, however much time Wemby needs to get there, we're going to give him that time. And no matter what timeline he thinks he's on, we're going to make him slow down. He's still got a long way to go in his career. So, Chet right now, I know it's minus 170, but this guy is playing amazing basketball on one of the top teams in the Western Conference, where he is probably the second best player on that team right now in the Western Conference. This is all I'm saying, Gil. I haven't made the bet. I don't think I'm going to make the bet. There's a good chance, though, in about a week and a half, this is minus 350
right.
on Chet.
Might be the best number you ever
This might be the best number you're going to see.
Holmgren had 20 last night in the Thunder win over the Timberwolves, averaging 17.3 and 7.9 boards on the season. JVT on the other side next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. I think I'm going to lean into this one. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there, as you know. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Now, here's the dealio. If you're a smoker or dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn's made with six simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, and even coffee. Our own Bill 80 loves the old wintergreen. Talk to him about that. It's available in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. I'll spell it ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Always a pleasure to welcome in this gentleman. He is the star of the Megapod, one of the stars. Also one of the stars of the Bear Bets Pod, Chris Felica's podcast over at Fox Sports, college and pro football versions, and now the host of his own podcast once again. I love that he's brought it back. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? That was a hell of an ad read. I don't smoke, but I might start smoking just so I can quit, just so I can get on to Zyn. That was really convincing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's exactly what we wanted people to do from that read, I think. By the way, your podcast, tell people about that real quick.
Called Shoulda Bet More. Right now, two times a week, might be bumped up to three times a week. Usually one early in the week. Did one yesterday with Jason Weingarten. Have you heard of Jason Weingarten, Gil? He's great. You should have him on. He's a hell of a guest. So got him going about awards, futures. It didn't take long for him to get into his Nick Gates rant from last year, which he was very happy to expand upon. You were on last week. Got a lot of good feedback on that. So we're going to have some good guests. Got to get Kelly on. I know Kelly's got like a million podcasts, long shots, hardwood handicappers. Who knows what else he's got going on. But yeah, it's fun. Happy to be hosting again. So it's been fun. Called Shoulda Bet More, which look, we've all said, we all say all the time. So check it out. Follow, rate, subscribe, all that.
All right.
I love it. I love it. Long shots back next week, Will. Well, you'll have to talk to my people. We'll see. We'll work something out.
More importantly, are the ads back next week? Because that's what we all want to know.
That's what we really want.
I don't know. I'm going to guess they're not back till like May.
Will, talk to me about college bowls today. You subscribe to my in-game theory that this is still the best way to bet this, but I would imagine. But do you have any pre-flop today?
Yeah, either live's the best way to bet it, or just round robin or parlay all the underdogs on the money line. Now, the favorites made a comeback yesterday, but from Thursday to Saturday, not only did all the dogs cover, all the dogs won, most of them, except for, you know, South Alabama was a big favorite, and there were a couple lines that were pick 'em. But, man, you got some a couple seven-point dogs, a few three-point dogs. If you round robin, if you parlay, man, if you parlay them, you could have really done well with those. But like you said, you can watch a lot. You can learn a lot by watching and make some money that way. Today, there's a few I like. I like USC plus 7. There's a 7 out there. DraftKings has a 6.5, but there is a 7. I just think, look, it's USC. They have the athletes. They have the depth. Like, I know Caleb Williams isn't playing, but it's still, you get that level of player that USC gets compared to Louisville, and you're getting 7 points. And let's face it, these are all exhibition games. That's a lot of points. And look, I know it's still Caleb Williams, but maybe there's a little Ewing theory there where, you know, that's an odd dynamic where you have a kid that's that rich, that famous, you know, he's doing Wendy's commercials. Maybe it's not the worst thing to get him off the team. Maybe get a little bump from that. One bet I really like, USC is plus 130 to score first at DraftKings. Now, most teams defer, college football, NFL, you win the toss, you'll say, hey, we'll take the ball in the second half. Lincoln Riley's been the coach at USC for 2 years. They've won the coin toss 11 times. They've elected to receive 10 of the 11 times. So chances are USC starts with the ball here. If you're getting them plus 130 to score first, if you can find a first quarter, ooh, plus 1.5.
I like that.
Not a bad angle there. So like USC that. Plus the 7, USC to score first. And I think Oklahoma State rolls over A&M. A&M's sitting most of their guys. Sounds like Gundy, who's usually good in these bowls, is going to take it seriously. Ollie Gordon's playing. So I think Oklahoma State should be able to run all over A&M. So those are the two I like.
I love that. The USC bit there is great. And I'll just say it again. I know I'm supposed to say, you know, intelligent things 100% of the time, and it's supposed to be like, oh, it's the most sharp betting thing in the world. But again, when it comes to this and this alone, college football, you know, let's say you don't know a single player in any of these games. And there's a lot of people out there who don't. As we progress in bowl season, that'll be less the case. But certainly in these early ones, there is nothing better to me than showing up for these games and observing and betting. And so just again, keep that in mind. I know it doesn't sound, oh my God, how could you possibly recommend such a thing? Honestly, it's the best. It's the most plus EV thing I believe you could do during this bowl season. But I love that.
The games are so crisp, too. They flow so well.
Yes, they sure do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Some of these things that we saw yesterday. OK, anything? What's your favorite bowl play beyond today?
Favorite bowl play beyond today. I don't see how Florida State earmuffs, Kelly. I don't see how Florida State scores against Georgia.
Earmuffs.
To me, like, I mean, I know it sounds like the most square thing in the world. Like, oh, Georgia's just going to beat them, I don't know, 38-0. But I think Florida State team total DraftKings is under 13.5, minus 125. Like, obviously no Jordan Travis. Rodemaker is opting out, and he's going to in the transfer portal. You're going to have what, Brock Glenn, the third string guy against this Georgia defense. I know Georgia has their fair share of opt outs, but to me, like, I don't know that Georgia has an appetite to like run up the score here, but, and you're through the key number of 17, there's some 17.5 popping up. I just think unless you get some fluky defensive scores, special team scores, I don't see how Florida State drives the length of the field twice and gets in the end zone twice to go over that 13.5. So Florida State team total under is probably my favorite play.
I think it's a good call. I hope in protest, they just go fullback dive every play. I think it's a good call.
Fullback plunge, everyone. Two things on that. One, thank you for not testing the earmuffs like Will Ferrell did. And then two, I hope Rodemaker goes on to have the greatest career any human being has ever had, just so we can look back on this and be like, oh, yeah, they could never have played with that guy. Okay, week 17, National Football League. What you got?
Like Atlanta, I think we're still getting 3 there. We were at least a few minutes ago when I looked. We've all talked about this on the Megapod. Wishnev's been all over it. I think we all agree Heineke's better than Ritter. The loyalty to Ritter has been more one of the more bizarre, perplexing things I can ever remember, where they just keep running the kid out there. Not that Heineke's some great player, but Heineke's at least serviceable. Ritter is not. Atlanta's got a pretty good defense. I know Chicago's played pretty good defense here, so you're getting 3 in a game that to me is a toss-up. Heineke, with all they've got skill guys you like with Pitts and Robinson and London. I mean, that's not a terrible team, which is why it's so odd that they stuck with Ritter. So give me 3 with Atlanta. I'll take it. It's square, but over 53.5. And I think this is the highest total of the year, which is not that high for a high total. Cowboys, Lions over 53.5. Cowboys at home are just a machine on offense. They're going to get their mid-30s against pretty much anyone. Goff indoors, I think, will be able to keep up. So to me, that's, I don't know, a 31-24, 34-27 type of game. That should be a fun game with a lot of points. So I like the over in the Cowboys-Lions game. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, Arizona's getting, what, 11.5? That's to me too many points. Philly just has holes everywhere on defense. Gannon has a little familiarity with Philly for whatever that's worth. So Arizona, they were bad last week, but they've been feisty in a lot of these games. They've been either covering, winning, close to winning. They've been, for a three-win team, they've been a little better, I think much better than we probably expected. So you're getting 11.5. To me, that's a lot of points.
I'm with you on that last one for sure. I think that's way too many points. Anything in the association tonight? I know you're betting the NBA these days.
Nothing in the NBA. And is college basketball, is it back today? I feel like we haven't had a game in a couple of days. And I don't remember that in past years. Usually you do get some games on Christmas. You get some of these holiday tournaments, Christmas Eve. So it's been a very light college basketball schedule. I haven't bet anything in the NBA. I haven't bet anything in college basketball. I will add one more. I do think Flacco at plus 400. I know you've talked about this. I think if the voting were today, I think it would be pretty much a coin toss between Flacco and Hamlin. And I know, and I've been with you all year, hey, Hamlin died on the field, it's his award. I got the sense Sunday that the narrative is shifting to, wow, can you believe this Flacco story? He's throwing the ball all over the field. They're winning games. He was on the couch a month ago. And what Aaron Schatz said on your podcast, a few weeks ago, was very telling, where, hey, I'm not going to vote for him and he's probably not going to be on my ballot. If other people are thinking like that, I think it's very possible Flacco wins this award. Again, you missed the sexy numbers at 100-1, 200-1, 60-1, but at 4-1, I don't think it's a bad bet.
I agree with all of that. I do. And again, you're right. I was the one who was screaming, hey, if he steps on the field again, he should be talking about DeMar, the comeback player of the year. But it took a story like a 38-year-old off the street Joe Flacco to outperform every quarterback that you know was under center for the Browns before him, including the $253 million man, Deshaun Watson. And I think you're right, and this is the point I was making about these awards yesterday, especially with Comeback Player of the Year. We have no idea if that market reflects reality with voters. And that Schatz point is the key. If you're not betting Hamlin first, if you're not voting Hamlin first, he's probably not on your ballot at all, which is different from the MVP calculus, right?
And it's not Comeback Player of the Year. It's Best Story of the Year. We take it too literally.
That's a great point. Best Story of the Year is really what it is. Plug away, sir.
Should Have Bet More podcast, Bear Bets podcast, Megapod tomorrow. So check it all out. Thanks, Gil. See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill. Two E's on the V. We'll do the Megapod tomorrow. Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager from Super Sports on the NFL. His thoughts next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada at the D. Right here in downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. He's aight. We're just describing you off air. He's aight.
I think I'm going crazy today because I thought we were trying to figure out, am I just hearing music louder than normal?
Yeah. You know,
clearly someone's messing around with it. We figured out during the break.
Yeah, we thought we had the music thing corralled, and maybe not so much right now at this moment.
I was like, why is it getting louder in my ear?
Jason Weingarten still to come this hour. Paul Carr with his soccer plays. Mike Pritchard here momentarily. First, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Nevada Azer. This is for you, Kelly. If Chet goes down, oh, God, I don't even want to, like, put that out there, poor guy. Who's your next two to win Rookie of the Year? Jaquez, Miller?
Yeah, so like I do think that there is, I'm not making that Chet bet just because there's so much runway in the season left that there's a lot of things that could happen, but I do think it's one of those two. Even on December 27th, I think it's Wemby or Chet. I wouldn't even consider a bet on anybody else.
Kip Heisterman.
Both of those guys would have to get hurt for significant periods of time.
That's right. Kip Heisterman, with the way the NFL seems so wide open this year, is there some value on the Rams to win the NFC at 30-1 with the way they've been playing? Value? Maybe. I just can't get there with a bet, though. I just can't. Yeah. They're good. They're not that good to me.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if they pull an upset or maybe even two in the playoffs, but I think ask them to go win the whole NFC's a lot.
Palm readers breaking from Gil, Will Hill, back in the podcasting game with Should Have Bet More. Subscribe on your podcasting app of choice. And this is from Eric Berg. Happy holidays and happy new year to the best sports betting show around. Oh, thank you. Thank you for all the information throughout the year. With golf starting back up next week, can you remind us of the name of the golf podcast? Feel like Visa never promotes.
Let's go Long Shots.
Let's go Long Shots.
Scarlett just liked it, too, on Twitter. So
Scarlett did?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, she likes a lot of things.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Scarlett. Big fan of the show.
Scarlett.
Big
fan of the show.
And there's so many Scarletts today.
So many. Yeah.
Like, there's a slew of Scarletts. It's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, he played the game. Number one draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons back in the early 90s, 1991, and a national champion at Colorado, where he played with the great Eric Bieniemy. It's VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Well, good to be with you, Gil and Kelly. Eric played with me, by the way.
Yes, I'm sorry. You know what? It's so funny. As it came out of my mouth, I thought to myself, how disrespectful. Eric played with Mike. And let me just say this. I am not, like, exaggerating that. Mike is super humble. Mike was the man on that team. You really were. And you, like, downplayed, and we love you for that.
Appreciate it.
you have much to brag and boast about, but you choose not to, and we do appreciate that. Let's start with the game. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked of Drew Dinsick yesterday about the Ravens and the Niners the other night. To you, having watched that game, was your reaction, we'll give a spectrum here, was your reaction, wow, I can see that totally happening similarly in a Super Bowl matchup, if not exactly the same, but similarly? Or was it the opposite of, you know what, four picks, two of them batted in the air, one when he got hit, talk about Brock Purdy. I think it's a one-off. Or was it somewhere in between?
I want to say somewhere in between, because I think Brock Purdy, and he should respond better if this scenario happens again, because this is like adversity, right? You never test it until you face adversity. And I've been talking about this all year long about how easy the offense has been for Brock Purdy because of the running game, Christian McCaffrey, and the fact that Kyle Shanahan has been calling an unbelievable game at times. But they met another bully in the alley, you know, and Brock Purdy. And I'll give some credit to Cam Newton, even though he took some heat, you know, being a game manager. You have to elevate yourself in December, and certainly have to elevate yourself in the playoffs in January. And we'll see if Brock Purdy can do that, meaning becoming a playmaker, whether the play breaks down or the first read's not there, the third read's not there. Do you panic? Do you become susceptible to pressure? I mean, all those things kind of showed up in that game against Baltimore. So Brock said that. I mean, he knows that. He's got to be better. And I think the fact that he experienced it in this game in a regular season will help him in the playoffs.
Baltimore, your number one power ranked team after seeing that game, Mike?
It's fluid. I don't do power rankings because the reality of the National Football League, and bettors know this, I believe, that most teams are 8-8. You know, now that we have 17 games, you can skew it either way, 8-9, 9-8, right? But who's going to skew it higher and who's going to be consistent that way? I think Baltimore has been consistent, but we'll see. They got a tough matchup the last 2 weeks, right? I think there's room for other teams to declare themselves the best team or the flavor of the week. I mean, that's how I like to sum up right now in the National Football League.
Kansas City's performance against the Raiders. And all shout out to Antonio Pierce and the job he's done with the Raiders. But I want to focus on the Chiefs, which is, listen, we've only known them to be great. Patrick Mahomes always playing home playoff games. They've hosted five consecutive AFC championships. They've won two Super Bowls along the way, and now they're this. And by this, I mean the defense was good this year, was better. Yeah. Maybe not so much here in more recent month. Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, but the offense is just a shell of its former self. Do you look at that team? I mean, how many bits of evidence do we need to just sort of accept that this team might not be that good? Are you there with them?
Are they Super Bowl caliber, right? I mean, I think they've come back to the pack in terms of not that elite team or not that team that's just incredible, or, you know, with Patrick Mahomes leading the way. They just come back to the pack, kind of like Buffalo. And can they scramble and get out of the pack and separate themselves? You know, that's what I look at Kansas City at this point right now. And the ability to do that, the ability to evolve, I think they're running out of options. I think they're running out of solutions in terms of how to do that. When they got rid of Tyreek, what did they do? They became a more efficient offense. Patrick Mahomes no longer looking to be the air raid kind of quarterback. He was a pocket guy, and he won an MVP, and he won a Super Bowl. But now, without a running game, some key injuries along the way, defensively good but not great, not improving like they did last year with those younger players. Yeah, I think they're thought of, at least I'm thinking of them, as part of the pack. And I don't know what they can do in the playoffs to separate themselves from the pack. And we'll see down the stretch here if they figure that out.
Legitimately, how many Super Bowl contenders are there in the NFC? Beyond the Niners, do you believe in the Eagles? Do you believe in the Cowboys? Do you believe in the Lions or anyone else?
You know, I do under certain circumstances. I mean, you know, the Cowboys haven't proved that they're great on the road. Against another really good team, right? I mean, I think at times they had a chance to beat Miami. They really did. But they got to start proving that. Look at the line now at home against another really good team. And that's incredible to think about it that way. But they're such a different team. Right now, here's the irony of the situation. I was thinking about this all night and this morning too. Quarterback play has been not at the high level that we normally expect it to be. But the irony of it all is it's going to come down to the quarterback play. I mean, look at Buffalo and Josh Allen and how they're playing. We just talked about Patrick Mahomes. Can he figure it out? Lamar Jackson kind of separating himself as we see Lamar in December and in the playoffs. You know, normally he's hurt right now. Matt Stafford, he could probably will his way through the playoffs at how good he's playing right now. Baker Mayfield. I mean, who would have thought that he would be playing at this kind of level and helping out Tampa Bay? So the quarterback hasn't mattered all year long in a regular season, but I think the quarterback's going to matter mightily as we approach the playoffs and get through the playoffs.
May I ask a question about the Washington Commodores? Is that allowed on this show?
You can, absolutely.
Okay. Allowed.
That group.
All right.
That group.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've heard of this team, this franchise, Mike, but they're called the Washington Commodes. They just announced moments ago, Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starting quarterback for the final 2 weeks of the season here. You played wide receiver in the National Football League, and I just have so many questions, and there's so many tentacles to this. Sam Howell, for most of the year, the narrative was, you know, really gutsy, a lot of moxie, makes a lot of plays, really can't be blamed because the offensive line has been, you know, tattered, in tatters. And yet, Terry McLaurin disappeared all year. Jacoby Brissett shows up, Terry McLaurin's season sort of begins. I'm just curious, that from a wide receiver's perspective, first of all, how does that happen? Is there something to that, or is it just coincidence? And then what does Washington, what is the attitude now as you see it with the quarterback position? Right now, they've got the third pick in the draft. I didn't think there was any chance they would draft a quarterback. Is that in play now?
Well, yeah, it's always in play. It should be. I mean, I think any team out there should look to upgrade any in every position. It doesn't matter who you have on a roster or who's your coach. The thing about quarterback play or wide receiver is all about rapport. Right. Playing with Warren Moon, I had a better rapport with him than Joey Galloway did. Or if you're John Elway, you know, do you have a better rapport with him? Shannon Shepard, incredible rapport with John Elway. So I think as a receiver, you got to get into work with those quarterbacks. And, you know, Sam Howell probably had that work done and had that rapport with certain players or players along the way. But as he got through the season and things got tough, it's because of tendencies, right? It's because of how you play the game. I think Jacoby certainly is playing the game differently, presents it a different way too, to a defense. And therefore he's finding players or giving players opportunities that Sam Howell normally wouldn't do or doesn't know how to do at this point. So to me, it's more about experience and rapport, what you see in practice that made the decision for Rivera to be the easy one, I believe, over Sam Howell.
Niners have gone from a 13.5-point favorite at Washington to a 13.5-point favorite at Washington on the news.
All right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, not to the betting market, it doesn't. Pritch, sure, always sure. A pleasure, man. Thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure as always. You guys have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, everybody, at M.I. Pritchard on the old Twitter machine.
Or NFC East quarterback news coming down. It will be Tyrod Taylor getting the start for the New York Giants.
Yeah, we sort of figured that one. That whole DeVito thing was fun, wasn't it?
Good times.
Good times. More NFL on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.